And the Lord, God's using him all across the country. The Engle family travels around the nation preaching in churches just like the Creek, and they travel by faith, and the Lord's using them. And I hear, every time I hear a fellow pastor talk about the Engle family coming in, they always speak of the fact that they were a great blessing and a help to the church. So tonight, please get your Bibles ready, take some good notes, and pray for Brother Thomas as he comes to preach. Brother Thomas, appreciate you being here. Love you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. All right, take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. It's good to see folks this morning out for church, and what a good service it was this morning. And I was challenged, and boy, the principle that I got from this morning's message was you better think about what you're going to do before the time comes upon you to make the hard decisions. And so it was a great message, and I appreciate that. And those things that Brentson, Pastor Jennings just said about me, that's the best thing that anybody ever said about me. And so I really appreciate that, and I'm giving you time to get to John chapter number 21. And we left Mississippi yesterday. We were in Starkville, Mississippi. And there's some Bulldogs over there, some Mississippi State Bulldogs, and now we're in Athens, Georgia, and some other Bulldog country over here, and we'll be heading to Florida next week. I don't know what exactly is down in Florida, but there'll be something down there. And so it's been a crazy year already. A lot of people have been saying, and maybe you said it yourself, at the end of 2020, I can't wait till 2021. And I said, really? I mean, somebody said they got a free subscription to 2021, and after 7 days, they were ready to cancel their subscription already. And so it's just kind of been wild and crazy. And the fact of the matter is there may be some more challenges this year than there was last year. And it's a real test of our character when things do not go the way that we think they ought to go. So we are glad to be here, and we appreciate the hospitality from Crooked Creek Baptist Church. John chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1. Notice with me what the Bible says. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. And so he's resurrected. He's been crucified. He's been buried. He's been put in the grave, and he's back up and back out because it was impossible for him to be holding by the pains of death. And so he reveals himself to his disciples. In verse number 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Verse 3, notice Simon. He says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Father, we're thankful for your goodness. Thank you that we can have a Bible that's not an old-fashioned book. It's really a timeless book. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to apply the principles that we would learn this evening. And, Lord, help us to be ready for what we were warned about this morning. And, Lord, we've had it good in our country, and we thank you for that. We've had it way better than we could ever even imagine. And, Lord, we might wake up to the reality of that. And I just pray that, Lord, you'd help us to have the character and the fortitude to do what's right, even when it's not easy to do what's right. And Lord, help our expectation to be from you. And this year already, and maybe last year, we've had expectations that maybe have not been met. And there's quite a bit of folks that are just really discouraged about that. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to learn from Peter just in the next few moments as we look at this precious passage here from the Word of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he's resurrected right now. And he's at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, he's praying for us right now that we would just have the fortitude to do what's right. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you would say that you have been in a circumstance or you have thought about something and you were anticipating it and then your expectations weren't met? Now, all of us have probably, even there's some young people here, some 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds have had some anticipations. They were excited about something, and their expectations were not met. And I can remember very vividly, I was 17 years old, and my mother talked to a U.S. Army recruiter, and she did it without me knowing about it. She talked to that recruiter, and the next day I was in his office. I've forgotten the names of a lot of people, but I've never forgotten the name of Staff Sergeant Freddie Sellers. And he was an Army recruiter. And we talked just for a few minutes. I don't know how long it took him to get me to the point where I was ready to sign my name up, you know, 17 years old. And he was talking about shooting machine guns and jumping out of airplanes and throwing hand grenades and all these different exciting activities. And I was just like, sign me up. As a 17-year-old, I was ready to go. And it was a few months later that I went to Fort Jackson, South Carolina for basic training. And I can just honestly say that my expectations were not met. And it was just really different than what I anticipated. And that happens to all of us. And you know what? Last year, you know, January of 2020, when we started last year, we probably had some expectations, some things that we thought would happen or should happen or could happen. And the fact of the matter is, for whatever reason, our expectations weren't met. Maybe this year, it seems like a lot of times we are so superstitious and don't even mean to be. We think that just because we move from December 31st, 2020 to January 1st, 2021, that all of our problems are going to magically disappear. Well, wake up. It didn't. It didn't happen that way. And so expectations are always, always in the life of a believer. If we're not careful, our expectations will not be met. And then you know what happens? We get a bad attitude. Oh, we want to throw in the towel. And it's so relevant to where we live today. And John chapter 21, I think, deals with it. It deals with this idea of what's your attitude going to be like when God doesn't meet your expectations. And we're going to learn from Peter. So I want you to notice a couple of things really about Peter. And I love what one preacher said about Peter. He said that Peter is the most American of all of the disciples because he said not knowing what he said. Now, you folks that are at home and listening, you probably don't have that problem, but I've made that mistake from time to time, and you said things that you really didn't think about before you said them. And Peter was that way. He was kind of rash, and he was kind of a go-getter, and he's kind of the leader or the spokesperson of this group. And so we're going to notice a couple of different things about Peter, and I want you to notice, first of all, Peter's attitude. So you got to keep in mind here that as far as we know, all of the disciples, their expectations haven't been met. Because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And they believed that He was the reigning King. But what they anticipated was the Lord Jesus to come and set up His earthly kingdom during their lifetime. And they weren't expecting all of the misery and all of the sorrow and all of the pain. They weren't expecting the death. And to be honest with you, they were a little bit discouraged. And it's just human nature. Welcome to the club. We all get there from time to time. And somebody said it's not a sin to be discouraged, but it is a sin to stay discouraged. And so notice Peter's attitude. He's here and the Bible says he's got Thomas with him and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Now, what did these men do for a living? Well, they were fishermen. And if you were to go back to earlier passages, if you were to go back to Matthew chapter 4 and Mark chapter number 1, you'll see the Lord Jesus, He calls these men to follow Him, and He uses a phrase somewhat like this, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. He says in the Mark passage, He says, follow Me and I will make you to become fishers of men. And the idea is that as we follow the Lord Jesus and as we stay close to Him and as we do His bidding, we will become fishers of men. But these guys were fishermen. And maybe I'm speaking to some people, I know at least one or two that are here in the auditorium tonight that love to fish. And so he's got his group here. Notice verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto him, I go a-fishing. And you kind of just pick up in his attitude here that he's just a little bit discouraged. And I've known this to be true in my own life, and I've seen it in the life of other believers. When Christians hit a wall, when they get thrown a curveball, when their expectations aren't met, you know what? The attitude changes just a little bit. And it's human nature. It's discouraging when things don't happen the way we think they ought to pan out. And Peter's that way. And you know what he's doing? He's really disobeying. Because the last thing that God or the Lord Jesus told Peter to do was not go fishing. But if you study the book of Luke, the last command given was to wait for the promise of the Spirit. And so he's discouraged and he says, hey, fellas, he says, I go a fishing. Basically, he's saying this, fellas, it's not panning out. It's not working out. This thing's not really what we thought it was going to be. And I'm just going fishing. I'm going back to the old life. And I've known a lot of Christians who's been on fire for the Lord, and they've had a good relationship when things are going well, and things begin to take a turn for the worse. And you know what they do? They default and they go back to what they're used to, what they're comfortable with, what they identify with. And if we're not careful, human nature is kind of like water. It always takes the path of least resistance. And Peter says, hey, guys, this didn't work out. And I'm going fishing. And so his attitude, he's discouraged. He's disobedient. Notice what the Bible says. He says, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship. And it's interesting. It's interesting because we have no idea how powerful our influence is. Peter basically, without saying it, he says, fellas, I'm going back to the old life. I'm discouraged. I'm going back to what I know. And you know what? He takes one step in the wrong direction, and guess what? He has a whole group of people that follow him back to the old life. We got to be careful. Our influence is very powerful. And so here he is, and he says, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and wouldn't you know it? And that night they caught nothing. You ever had one of those fishing trips before? If you're a fisherman, you've probably had a lot of those fishing trips. Me and my family, we do fishing quite often. It's pretty convenient to do. And I'll just be honest with you, we do a lot more casting than we do catching. And instead of calling it fishing, we ought to call it casting, because that's really what we do. And I can remember growing up as a kid, and I would go down to the coast of Alabama, in Mobile, Alabama, and go out there on the Gulf Shore. And we had a pier that we would fish off of. And we'd get out there just before dinner time, and we'd take some snacks with us, and we'd take bait, and we'd take a cooler, and we'd take 8 or 10 fishing rods, and we'd go out to the end of that pier. And my dad was a pretty savvy saltwater fisherman, and we'd stay out there all night long. Now, how many of you kids would like to do that? All of you, raise your hand. I tell you, when it gets to be about 1 o'clock in the morning, and the fish aren't biting, and sometimes it gets a little bit chilly because you didn't take enough clothes, it makes for a long, long night. And they didn't catch anything. I've been there before. I know how discouraging it is when you don't catch fish. And Christian, I tell you, hey, this is a great opportunity. The country that we live in 2021, the darker the night, the brighter the light. And sometimes we get so discouraged because we're not catching any fish. But you have to keep trying. You have to keep trying. And so notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And so all night fishing trip, didn't catch a thing. Verse 5, then Jesus saith unto him, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. Now I've been on that end of the conversation before. When you've been fishing and maybe you got your 5-gallon bucket beside of you and you got your rods and some passerby comes up and they always ask this question, have you caught anything? Now, it's wonderful when you can say, yeah, we've been catching all kind of fish. But it's discouraging when they say, have you caught anything? No, hadn't caught anything. Hadn't even got a bite. And so that's kind of where they are. Verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I'm telling you, you go through seasons of life sometimes, and you're discouraged because your expectations aren't met. And discouragement set in, and then disobedience will sometimes set in, and the temptation is just to quit and give it up. It's not working out. It's not panning out. And you know what I found? I found sometimes I go through seasons of life spiritually, and it's not very fruitful. And you know what the Lord shows me? I'm laboring and investing in the wrong areas. Instead of being on this side, where I think there's going to be some possibility of a return on my investment spiritually, instead of being over here, I need to be over here. The fact of the matter is, a lot of times I'm investing in things I shouldn't be investing in, and that's why I'm not catching any fish. But Jesus said, hey, fellas, you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. And if you're here tonight or you're listening tonight and you've been discouraged because your expectations aren't met and you say, boy, my life's not real fruitful, I haven't caught any fish, can I tell you, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Peter just had a bad attitude about it. And they didn't catch anything. And so the Lord gives them these instructions. And the Bible says they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I bet they were certainly glad they didn't quit. Just one more cast, one more cast. The attitude. Now, it's interesting. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, the human author of the book of John, he saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Sink or swim, Peter had this mindset, I'm going to Jesus. Sink or swim. And so he launches out in verse number 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. And I love verse 10. It's really a sobering verse. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Now, we move pretty quickly. We move from Peter's attitude. He's discouraged. He's disobedient. He's leading others astray. And now we move to what I call Peter's accountability. Accountability. What's Jesus say? He says, hey, bring the fish that you've caught. Now, I believe this. I believe the next thing that can happen, and it can happen at any time, is the rapture of the local church. And then after that, there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And somewhere in there, there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible teaches about the judgment seat of Christ in at least two places and in the New Testament. And you know what it is? It's going to be time for accountability. And I want to just turn to those two places and read them. They're short passages, but one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm going to turn there and begin reading. And so if you're following along, you can just listen. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, in verse number 10, Paul makes reference to this. Now keep in mind, I believe this, a believer, their sin is not going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. If you've been born again, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Your sin was judged where? At Calvary. And so this is not a place where sin will be judged, but I do believe that this is a place where our service will be judged. Notice what the Scripture says in verse number 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed. What's the next word? How. It doesn't say what. A lot of times we focus on the life that we're building. By the way, a life or a ministry is not something you build as much as it is something that you steward. It's a stewardship. But Paul is emphasizing not what you build, but how you build it. The process is important. And so he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so this is the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the passage over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and in verse number 8, he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Verse 10, for we must what? All. Now he's writing to believers. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's your Christian service. What kind of steward have you been with your opportunities? What kind of steward have you been with the light that you've been given? What kind of steward have you been with the time that you've been given? I mean, you can fill in the blank. He says in verse number 9, he says, wherefore we labor that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And then down in verse number 11, he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul looked forward to the judgment seat of Christ, and he would look to that day, and it wasn't a Sunday school picnic where they were passing out awards. Paul said, boy, I look towards this day and tremble, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. You know why? Because we're going to have to be accountable. And I think about this in reference to John chapter number 21, what Jesus asked him. He said to them, he told them, he said, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And I think, what if that's the phrase that he uses at the judgment seat of Christ? I'm not saying that that's the phrase he's going to use. But what if you're standing there at the Bema seat and he just kind of says to you, hey, where's the fish? Do you have any fish? I mean, the whole idea is follow me and I will make you to become fishers of what? Of men. Do you have one? Do you have two? I mean, did you even try? I mean, what's your excuse? And it's interesting. We can get super discouraged, and I'm not going to be political, but the fact of the matter is, whether the president is somebody you voted for or not, your job as a believer does not change. My job is to make him look good, and I'm not an ambassador to the United States of America. I look for a city whose builder and maker is God, and the Bible says that I am to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. My job and your job is to make him look good. And the fact of the matter is, we'll stand one day to give an account before the Lord, and he might say, where's your fish? And it's going to be a shame to say, well, you know what? I really don't have any. Or I got two, and two's good, but two's not good if you could have had 20. And 20's not good if you could have had 200, because life is not something that you build, it's something that you steward. And so Peter's attitude, is his attitude right? It's not right. Are things going the way that he thought they should go? It's not going the way that he thought he should go. And so you see his attitude, and then you see his accountability. Let's come down just quickly to go through the passage in verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Isn't that amazing? God gives you the tools for exactly the time and place when you need them, and they're always sufficient. And you know what fishermen love to do more than anything else? Man, we like the outdoors. We like to be in the sun and the rain. And I like the boats, and I like the water, and I like the environment. But you know what I like more than that? Fishermen like to catch fish. And man, they're drawing them in, and they can't hardly even and get them there. And the Bible says in verse 12, and Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Wow, what a question. And so we see this. How do you respond when your expectations aren't met? Number one, attitude. Number two, accountability. And by the way, we don't have to understand. I look back over the last really 13 months now, and you got 2020 and 2021, and all that took place. I don't understand about this whole election. I don't understand some of that. It just is puzzling to me. But you know what? I don't have to understand. You know what I have to do? Obey. I don't have to understand. I just have to obey. And so you see Peter's attitude. You see his accountability. But now he gets the question, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know what's brought to light here? Peter's affection. His affection. And I've studied this. I've looked at 10 or 12 different commentaries on this phrase, lovest thou me more than these? And I underline that. What are these? I'm not a Greek scholar, but I paid for it in Bible college. It's in the neuter. That means it's neutral. And so it really doesn't help you a whole lot on trying to figure out what these are. And a lot of commentaries would say this. Jesus says, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples do? And certainly that can be applied. You know, Peter was always the one saying, Lord, let's go. Let's, Lord, unto death. Let's go. Let's charge at him and let's do it. And he's denied the Lord already, and that's taken place. And now he's discouraged, and he's just on the shore, and he's having fellowship with his Lord and his God. And Jesus says, do you love me more than these disciples do? And it could mean that. But you know what fishermen like? We like the whole thing. We like the whole gamut. I think about the Sea of Galilee. My wife and I were at the Sea of Galilee back in 2019. It's beautiful. I mean, it's clear water. It's not brown, murky water. It's a beautiful lake, the Sea of Galilee. It's huge. Beautiful mountains around. It's just the weather's nice. It would be a great place to grow up and fish for a living. And maybe, perhaps, Peter is looking at Jesus and says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than this, the water? I mean, an outdoorsman likes to be outdoors. Do you love me more than the boat? Do you love me more than the nets? Do you love me more than the fish? And you know what? A lot of times, and I'm learning this, I haven't learned it, but I'm learning this a lot of times when my expectations aren't met, you know what it is? It's a test of my sincerity. And maybe he's asking the question, Brother Thomas, or fill in the blank, do you love me more than you love the United States of America? Do you love me more than your ministry? Do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than that? And the fact of the matter is, when things don't go the way we think they ought to go, he might just be testing your sincerity. And he asks him. He doesn't ask him once. He asks him twice, and he asks him a third time, Peter, do you love me? And there's a different play on words. And Peter's asking, or he's being asked by Jesus, Peter, do you love me? Do you agape love me? And Peter says, you know, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. I mean, how many times do you have to ask me? But it's a play on words. And let's just come down and finish out the passage. The Bible says in verse 17, we'll move there just for sake of time. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him what? Feed my sheep. Vance and I love to spend time with my children. I really do. And time's moving so fast. And we were fishing a couple of weeks ago, and Vance said, Daddy, do you think that God would just let me grow up to be a fisherman? I said, well, certainly he might let you do that, you know, and that's a good thing. And we get to enjoy fishing. It's something that we enjoy. But Jesus didn't say, follow me and I will make you to become a fisher of fish. He says, follow me and I'll make you become what? Fisher of men. And so he might let you fish along the way, but the greater priority is to fish for what? For men. And he lays some charges to Peter, and he says, Peter, you're going to feed my sheep. And we get in the book of Acts, and he certainly does. But let's come down to the passage. Verse 18, Jesus is speaking. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. He said, Peter, when you were young, you did what you wanted to do. Brinson made reference to what it was like in our early 20s. I didn't know what was up from down in my early 20s. But I had some drive and determination, and I did what I wanted to do. That's youth, you know. And Peter is being challenged. The Lord says, hey, when you're young, you do what you want to do. But he said, there's going to come a time that's going to change. Verse 18, he says, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. That's humbling, isn't it? We're always in a state of dependence, no matter where you are in life. And here's Peter, and Jesus said, there's a time when you did what you wanted to do, but there's a time coming when you're old that somebody's going to have to help you along and just do everything for you. And verse 19, this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, what's he say? He says, follow me. And it's interesting. It doesn't matter. And I know, humanly speaking, we all get discouraged. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have to understand. All I have to do is obey. And it really doesn't matter if my expectations aren't met. My job is to what? It's to follow Him. And He says to Peter, follow me. Verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? If you kind of use your imagination, I think he's casting a glance towards the Apostle John. And he says, Lord, what about him? What do you want him to do? And I love what Jesus' response is. He says in verse 22, Jesus saith to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And then what does he say for the second time? Follow thou me. And you know what? We go through attitude problems. We all do it. It's human nature. Things don't go the way you plan for them to go. And really, you might have a lot of deep waters that you're in right now. And it's just hard to keep your head above water. And boy, it seems like you just get discouraged. And then you get disobedient. You don't do what you know you're supposed to do. You know what? One day, there's going to be accountability. We're going to have to answer for the Lord. And it might be just a test of your true sincerity. What do you love more than the Lord Jesus? And the fact of the matter is, our job stays the same. And what are we supposed to do? Follow the Lord. But we do like Peter did. Peter says, well, what about him? What's he supposed to do? And Jesus says, don't worry about him. You worry about you. And there's a lot of people. I'm like, well, what about him? And what about her? And the Lord says, you don't worry about them. You're not accountable to them, and they're not accountable to you. And he says, what do you do? Follow thou me. Peter's affection. I've been thinking about this a lot. And we know the Bible says, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll what? You'll keep my commandments. You'll obey. If you love me, you'll obey it. And that has to do with church and those responsibilities to your local church. But you know what? I'm learning this, that church ought to be supplemental. It ought to be an extension of everything that you're doing at home and teaching your children. It ought to be supplemental and helping you to develop your spiritual walk. And so you really, I don't think you can really honestly say that you love the Lord Jesus if you're spiritual on Sunday and Wednesday and maybe one other time during the week, and that's not a constant desire that you're working towards. And the fact of the matter is, we get our eyes on our problems and we get our eyes on the Lord, and no matter what, all we're supposed to do is follow Him. And He'll take something that's real difficult and make it real simple, doesn't He? And I'm kind of glad sometimes for this past year. I look back, and I was talking to a gentleman here this morning, and we were talking about how much we learned over the last year. And the fact of the matter is, for the Christian, we learn a lot more in the valley than we do on the mountaintop. And Jesus tells Peter, he says, hey, Peter, just follow me. Don't worry about it. It's all under control. I got a job for you, Peter. Peter, feed my sheep. Don't worry about John. Don't worry about him. I could say, don't worry about the folks on the other side of the aisle. Don't worry about the people that you don't have any control over. Hey, all we got to worry about, really, it's me. And all I need to do is follow him. And it's interesting, Jesus' last words to Peter, Peter, follow me, his message never changed, did it? What were Jesus' first words to Peter? Follow me. Ain't nothing changed, Peter. Hey, we've been at this for a while, Peter, and this isn't going to be the first time that your expectations aren't met, Peter. Your job is simply, it hasn't changed from the beginning. All you got to do, Peter, is follow me. And it's one step at a time, one day at a time. And you know what? A little bit over a long period of time makes a big difference. And I just want to encourage you tonight, if you're here in the auditorium or at home and your expectations haven't been met this year or last year, maybe you have a spouse that's not meeting your expectations. Maybe you got children. Maybe you got a church that's not meeting your expectations. Can I tell you? Your job is not going to change. Your job is simply to follow the Lord, no matter what. Would you bow with me in prayer, please?